When you came in today on the sign out front, you saw the word Ever Ready, and immediately you thought of the battery, didn't you? That's what you think. This is Ever Ready to Live for the Lord and Ever Ready to Be Going Home with the Lord. When we're ready, whether we live or we die, it doesn't matter. We're ready to be with Christ. So we're going to stand together. We're going to honor our Lord as we read together Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. And I want you to keep in mind, every time you read the book of Philippians, where the Apostle Paul is at. He's in a Roman jail. He doesn't know if he's going to live till tomorrow. Any day he could have been beheaded, and eventually he was. But he's always talking about joy. Folks, wonderful that when life is at its lowest, your joy is at its highest. That's when you really know you're ever ready. Paul says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For if I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Heavenly Father, help us to be ever ready. Ready to live, which means fruitful labor for you, ever ready to die, which is gain. Which is very different than how most people look at death. Father, your word tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Help us to rejoice in that knowledge. And Lord, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. There are two things every human being has to face at the moment of their birth. You have to face life on a daily basis, and you have to face the fact that one of these days, you are going to face death. All of us that have lived very long at all have had experiences where we felt, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the day I'm going home. I remember I was at Plant 2. I was working on a machine, transfer line, and it was about 2 in the morning, and all at once I heard a huge explosion, and then the lights went out. I mean, every light went out. Everything was pitch black. And I thought, wow, is this place exploding? Is this the day? And I was a young Christian at the time, and I thought, well, maybe this is it. Well, it turned out it wasn't it. What had happened was next door to our plant, I was at Plant 2, and right across, just, quarter mile away, was Central Foundry. Central Foundry had an electrical tower explode, and it just took all the lights out everywhere around the area, but it was scary, and it was something to remember. A man explained, a different man other than me, because I would never do this, a man explained that his oldest son had talked him into skydiving. He had never skydived before. He was a little bit apprehensive, but his older son talked him into it. So the day came. It was an extremely hot and humid August day. And they went up in this little airplane. There was the son and the dad, and two flight instructors that were going to jump out of the plane with them, you know, kind of a guide to help you make sure you made it down safely. But they went up in the air. I don't know if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon or not, but we went there, 7-8 years ago, I and the wife, and you stand at the top of the Grand Canyon, and there was a helicopter the day we were there flying over, and from that helicopter, it was a whole mile to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, so it's deep. But this plane went up 2 miles high, twice as high as that. And they opened the door, and the older man that was going to jump out with his son suddenly had a blast of really cold air come in his face. And it was really noisy because now the door's open and the engine's going. And the flight instructor shouted to him, "Are you ready?" And the old boy's eyes are this big, and he goes, "Oh!" And he said the second he did that, there was a devilish look come onto this flight instructor, and there was a huge struggle. The man was going backwards towards the door, fighting against it, and the younger man was pushing him out the plane. Just before they got out, "Are you ready?" "No!" And away they go, and they jump. And the man, as he's coming down, said, "If I could just think of a Bible verse, is there a Bible verse to bring me comfort?" And he said, "This is the only verse I could think of, Luke 12:20. This is his Bible verse. "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get you what you prepared for yourself?" Folks, there's not much comfort in that. But it became a battle. And on the way down, he really thought, this is going to be it for me. He said two things came to his mind. Number one, if he was going to die, he was going to heaven. He knew that. And if he wasn't going to die, this would be the only time he would ever jump out of an airplane. You know, he was ready to die, but he wanted to live. Most of us would say that's true, isn't it? I'm ready to die. I know I'm going to heaven. But I kind of long to stay here. I want to see my grandkids grow up. I want to see more time with my wife. I want more time. You know, the Apostle Paul looked at life quite differently than most of us do. He said, "If I stay, it's needful for you, but my desire is to go to be with Christ." Folks, I hope we can grow to the point where that's all of our desire. Do you know the one you love most is the one you long to be with? When I was in the military, active duty, I wasn't saved yet, but I was dating Mimi, and she was the one I wanted to be with more than anybody on this earth, and I wrote her every day because my heart wasn't in the military. I enjoyed the military. I really did. I had a great time, a lot of good friends, a lot of good times, but my heart was I wanted to be with Mimi. Folks, as a Christian, that should be your desire. I'm enjoying this life. I really am. I really enjoy life. The Lord says he's given us richly all things to enjoy, and I do enjoy it. But my heart is home. I long to be with my Lord. I long to see my mom, my grandma. When we get to heaven, it's not going to be lonely. There are going to be millions of people there. Some of them you've known in this life. I'm longing for that. I hope you are. Every night when Paul went to sleep in that jail, every night he knew this could be my last night. Roman jails are not like jails today in the United States of America. Roman jails were more like the jails in China or Mexico. They were rough. I mean, there was many people in one cell. There was no way to get clean. Terrible. But the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:18, "What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice." Do you know the Bible says when Paul was in prison, he was constantly chained to two Roman soldiers? And Paul said he was witnessing to those Roman soldiers all the time. And the Bible says the whole imperial guard got saved. So Paul, although he's worried about, you know, he's going to die. Nobody wants to have their head cut off. I hope you don't. But all the while, he's witnessing. All the while, there were people outside of the prison witnessing just to bring more trouble on Paul. Everybody that witnesses doesn't do it for the glory of God and the good of mankind. Some people do it because they're jealous. They want that other guy out of the way so I can move ahead. Well, Paul said it doesn't matter. Whether by false motives or good, Christ is preached, and that's all that matters. Folks, that's real Christian growth. I just pray we get there. So the secret to his joy, why was he happy? Even in prison, Even after being whipped, even after all the troubles he'd gone through, why is he still happy? Because Christ is glorified. He's glorified by our life and he's glorified by our death. And as long as that's going on, Paul is a happy camper. Folks, when you hit those troubled times in your life, are you still able to rejoice in the Lord? Can you still say, Christ is magnified even in my weakness, and I'm rejoicing? You'll know how you're going in your Christian life by what steals your joy. That's not to say we don't get sad when we lose loved ones. All of us do. But there should be a joy that goes through it. There should be a joy that says, I know Christ is working in their lives. Folks, we have to look forward. In Philippians 1:20, the Apostle Paul said, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. How can Christ be exalted in our life? That's pretty easy, isn't it? If we live for his glory, he's glorified. The Lord said they'll see your good works, all the different things you're doing to serve, and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. But how can he be glorified in our death? Folks, it's so important you understand this. When you die, you're going home. You're going to see the one, hopefully, that you love the most. I hope you're more in love with Jesus Christ than you are with anybody or anything else, because that's what makes the difference. Paul's looking forward to home. Paul did something that all of us ought to do, but most people never do. They make Christ their life. I just want to go through a few things that people are living for today, even Christians. I just got to tell you the truth. Most Christians, Christ is not their life. He's very important to them. Don't get me wrong. They have received Christ as Savior. They're looking forward to heaven eventually, but I want it to be way out there someplace. What would you say if I were to ask you, what is your life mostly about? Some people, even Christians, would say it's mostly about money. I don't want to say I'm money hungry, but I really like money. And so my life is about making more money. Other people would say, my life is my family. I care more about my family than I do about anything else. For others, it would be, it's my job. I love my job. For others, it would be, I love popularity. I'm living to be popular, especially among our younger people today. That's a huge draw to have all these followers on the internet who think you're hot potatoes. And many people are living for the praise of man. Some would say my life is sports. I care more about sports and more about achieving than I do about anything else in life. If any of those things are the source of your center, do you know they're all coming to an end? Do you know there's going to come a time when you can't play sports? Hope you understand that. I can still golf a little bit, not good, but I can still hit the ball, but I don't play baseball anymore. If we had a ball game out here, I would hit the ball and run a little bit, but I can't run like I used to run. That's gone. And it's not coming back in this lifetime. If whatever you stress, whatever center of your life, if it isn't Christ, you're going to lose it. And you're going to lose your joy. If your job is the most important thing in your life, you know, there's a time you're not going to be able to do your job anymore. So we have to look past that. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, this is something I hope you can come to. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Are you looking at your death as a gain? Or are you looking at your life as a loss? If you're living for primarily your relationship, I mentioned how much I love Mimi, and when I was in the military, I couldn't wait to get home. But if she's what I'm living for primarily, there's going to come a time when either she or I am not going to be together. One of us is going to go. I'm going to lose my heart. when Mimi dies, I'm not going to lose my heart, because although I love her deeply, she's not my life. Christ is my life. I've come to the point already where I can't do the mission repair work I used to do. I can't lift that heavy stuff anymore. But it wasn't my life. I enjoyed it. I did enjoy sports, and I still do. But it's not my life. My life is wrapped up in a person, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do believe for me to die is going to be gain. It's not a loss. I'm looking forward to going home. The word gain literally means profitable or beneficial. Now, normally, we say the only people that are going to profit from our death is the undertaker, the funeral home parlor. They're going to make some money. But when I die, how many of the troubles that I am concerned about now am I going to be concerned about the day I die? In other words, how's the stock market doing? Is that pretty important? If you got anything invested in it, it's quite important. How's my bank doing? If you got any money in the bank, that's quite important. The day after I die, how important is that going to be? Stock market goes up, stock market goes down. I couldn't care less. It has nothing to do with my life anymore. Folks, all the troubles we have, our roof gives out. I'm not going to care about the roof of my house one bit the day I die. It's never going to bother me again. And so what we have to do is say, my death is going to be gain. Joe Louis, the famous boxer of years ago, I know most of you don't remember Joe Louis, but I remember a little bit about him. But everybody, he said, wants to go to heaven. But nobody wants to die. You know, in order to go to heaven, unless the Lord comes in our lifetime, you got to die. The truth is, I'm looking forward to death. I hope you are. I hope death has no sting to you at all. Because it's not the end, it's the best part. The best is yet to come. We need to live in the personal presence of our Lord and Savior right now. Paul again in Philippians 1:21, and this is the best definition of a Christian to me, the one sentence answer. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If the gospel is true, and I believe with all my heart it is, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loved me enough to die for me. He died for everybody, but I'm glad he died for me. And because that's true, and because I have received him as my Lord and Savior, I can't wait to go see him. I'm looking forward to death. And I know that's probably strange, but it was probably strange for the Apostle Paul too. Jesus Christ alone is worthy of your life. He's worthy of you living for him and longing to be with him. He's your creator God. And he loved you enough to come to this earth and be crucified for love of you. That's remarkable to me. Because I know me, and I'm not worthy of it. But God says I was. He loves us, in spite of ourselves. Your life is too valuable to give it to anything else other than the love of Jesus Christ. That's what life is really meant to be. We're created by God, for his glory, and to be with him forever. It's a wonderful thing. You can tell the single most important thing in a person's life. We all have something that we're living for and that we would gladly die for. Nothing could be better than to give yourself totally to Jesus Christ, fall in love, madly in love with him, and long more than anything to be with him. Job said, "In my flesh, I'm going to see God. I'm going to see him face to face." Folks, Job was in a bad situation when he wrote that. Job's whole life was being taken away. And Job said, one day soon, I'm going to see my God face to face. In Philippians 1:22, Paul said, if I'm to go on living in the body, he really wanted to depart and be with Christ, but he knew people needed him. This will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Not just a little bit better, better by far. I hope you're looking at heaven that way. He wasn't just ready to go to heaven. He was revved up to go to heaven. He was ready. He had suffered a lot for Christ by this time. Remember when the Lord told Ananias to go to Paul, or Saul of Tarsus that day, and he became Paul, and he said, Ananias said, Lord, he's caused great trouble. And the Lord said, you go, because I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my name. Paul really suffered for his walk with Christ, but he's still looking forward to getting on home. So we can learn some things from Paul. Shouldn't we want to love Christ so much that we just can't hardly wait to see him again? Folks, face to face, can't get any better. People often ask, where's heaven? You know, because nobody knows just where it is. I can tell you exactly where it is. It's right where Jesus is. When I get to heaven, people say, boy, I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm going to look all over all the sights, the pearly gates, and I'm going to see the golden streets. Folks, all that's beautiful, and it's going to be wonderful. But I want to see Christ face to face. I want to see the one that loved me so much that he gave himself for me. Christ is where heaven, or heaven is where Christ is, and the main center of attention. Everybody says, I'm just going to travel. I'm going to see everything. I want to see it all. Folks, when you get there, you're not going to want to see anything except Christ. He's going to be the center, and we're going to rejoice to see him face to face. When we enter the kingdom of God, we're going to take a trip. It's going to be an unforgettable trip. It's going to be a trip full of joy. In Philippians 1:23, Paul said, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Paul described death as a departing. I desire to depart. When you use the word depart, you're using a nautical term. What it means is the loosing of the ship. Ships were made for what? To sail the seas. They weren't made to stay in port. We're in port right now. But we aren't meant for this life. We were never meant to live in a world full of pain and sorrow and suffering. That's what this world has become because of sin. We were made for a different world, a world similar to the Garden of Eden before sin came into the world. We're meant for a world where we're not going to age anymore. We're not going to get infirm anymore. We're going to have absolute strength and absolute joy and absolute peace through all eternity. That's what we're made for. And God wants us to be excited. That word is rich in nautical terms, but not just nautical terms either. It's military term as well. When a person deploys, they pick up and they move off to the battle or wherever they're going in their service. But when their service is over, you take the tent down and you're going home. Folks, that's the idea here. We're going to be on loose from our responsibilities in this life and all the cares of this life, and we're going home. It's absolutely beautiful. It's not only a military term, it's also a judicial term. It's talking about freeing people that are prisoners. I hope you understand, you're in a prison right now. You're serving time because of your parents' sin and your sin. You're serving time. This is as bad as it gets, folks. We're heading for a place where our time in service is going to be done. Our time in punishment is going to be done. It's all going to be behind us. And so we can look forward to heaven with joy. When we get to heaven, it's a prepared place. Who's preparing it? In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. This is a Jewish kind of remembrance of how their marriages were. When a Jewish young man was espoused to be married, his dad told him, it's time to go get your bride. And the young man would have prepared a room on his dad's house for him and that bride to live in at first. Folks, Jesus has gone to heaven to prepare a place for you. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back. And I'm going to take you to be to heaven to be my bride. The whole church, men and women, are the bride of Christ. And he's going to prepare that place for you and I. We are going to live in the Father's house for all eternity. And it's going to be absolutely unbelievable. Quite a few years ago, there was a Christian leader named George Sweeting. George Sweeting had a friend, a Christian friend. He and his wife had been married a number of years, and the wife was actively dying. So George Sweeting decided he was going to go visit this friend and try to bring comfort and a little bit of hope into the life. But when he got there, there was a party going on. And he got there and he wondered, how can this be? He said to his friend, how can you have such joy? Your wife of many years is dying. And this man said to George Sweeting, George, if your wife won a trip to Hawaii and she was about to get on the boat and flow over to Hawaii, wouldn't you be happy for her? And George said, well, yes, I would be happy for her. He said, George, heaven's way better than Hawaii. My wife's going home. How could I possibly not rejoice? Folks, if you really know what heaven's like and your loved one's on their way and you know they've trusted Christ, we can rejoice. It's not the end. It's the best. I don't know if I've told you this story before, but there was an aged lady, knew she was actively dying, getting very close, and she sent for her pastor to come and prepare the message. Well, the pastor came to the house. They had a little lunch she had prepared. And then she started telling him the songs she wanted and the different verses that she really wanted. And everything was set up. And the pastor said, well, it sounds like we got it all figured out. Sounds great. And she said, now, pastor, I've got one more thing I want you to do. And the pastor said, what's that? She said, pastor, don't get upset. It may sound a little strange, but after all the verses are done, all the songs are done, I want you to come over to my casket, and I want you to put a fork in my hand. And the pastor said, why in the world would you want me to put a fork in your hand in the casket? She said, pastor, when I was a little girl, my grandma always had wonderful meals. But at the end of every meal, she would say, now save your fork because dessert's coming. I want you to tell my family I believe the best part of my life is coming. It's not behind me. Folks, when you have that kind of faith, you're ever ready. You're ever ready to live this life to the full glory of God, and you're ever ready to go home with God when the time comes for you. Heaven shouldn't be something we dread. Heaven should be wonderful. When we get to heaven, you're going to have the joy of seeing relatives that you haven't seen in years. Some of you have lost children to death. They're ahead of you. When you get there, they're going to be there. Some of you have grandchildren that are there and great-grandchildren that are there. When we get to heaven, you're going to see grandpas and grandmas you never knew. You're going to find family that you didn't consider family. Do you know that every Christian is your brother and your sister? You're going to get to heaven and find out that you're related through Christ some of the greatest Bible characters you've ever read about. You're going to be able to sit down with Moses and say, Moses, what was it like when the walls of the Red Sea opened up and you went through on dry land? And you're going to be able to rejoice together in that. You're going to be able to talk to King David and say, David, when you went up against Goliath, who were you betting on? You know, David was just a young man, and Goliath is 9 foot 6 inches tall, Hulk Hogan, except 3 foot bigger, you know, huge guy. Folks, we're going to see all those people. We're going to be able to talk with them and see how God worked in their lives. To me, that's going to be so exciting. Over 1,300 years ago, a church historian by the name of Venerable Bede wrote these words. This is 1,300 years ago. A great multitude of dear ones is there expecting us. A vast and mighty crowd of parents, brothers, and children, secure now in their own safety, anxious yet for our salvation, long that we may come to their right and embrace them, to that joy that will be common to us and to them, to that pleasure expected by our fellow citizens as well as ourselves. If it be a pleasure to go to them, let us eagerly and covetously hasten on our way, that we may soon be with them and soon be with Christ. When I was young and going to college at Delta College, I took accounting. I thought I might want to get a job in accounting, but I found accounting very boring. I got a daughter right now that is an accountant, and she loves it. And that's wonderful, you know, but I just said, no, this isn't for me. But when I took Accounting 101, a couple of important lessons is learning the difference between an asset and a liability. An asset is something that over time you're going to get a gain. It's going to be a plus in your bank account. A liability is something that eventually is going to cost you dearly. You have to know the difference between debt and credit. A debit is something that's put onto your account, but a credit is something that you're going to owe. Folks, we have to in life find out, what is a debt and what is a credit? What's a liability and what's an asset? When you live with the idea that I am going to live forever, I want to invest my life in Christ. I want to be busy about His work now. When you have young children, what a thrill to raise them to know Christ. Sadly, so many parents are more impressed with getting their child to Harvard than they are to heaven. They're more impressed with getting their child to be the greatest athlete they could possibly be instead of making sure their child knows Christ. If the Bible is true, and I believe with all my heart it is, there should be nothing more important to a grandparent than to help their grandkids come to faith, because then you're going to be with them for all eternity. Folks, many people, I mentioned, what's your life primarily about? Many people would answer family. Family's more important than anything. I want to tell you, if you're a Christian and your family isn't, you're never going to see them again. Or you'll wish you never had, because you're going to be in outer darkness. Folks, if you're a Christian, nothing should be more important to you than making sure your whole family knows Christ. Because if they do, you're going to be in family reunion for eternity. If Jesus is your life, it's more than just going to church on a Sunday. If Jesus really is your life, it's more than just being baptized. I was baptized at 12. But I wasn't saved. I didn't know the Lord. I got baptized because they gave me free Bibles. When I came out of that water, I went right back to my life just the way it used to be. When you really know Christ and you're baptized into Him, you're saying, I'm done living for Jerry Larkin. I am now going to live for Jesus Christ. It makes a difference. Then you're ready to live and you're ready to die. You're ever ready. Folks, this is so important. We need to live Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the rest of the days of our life. Because then no matter what else happens, you're ready. You're rejoicing. You're able to do good works now for Christ's glory and mankind's good. And you know that when this life is over, and it will be over soon for all of us, that you're going home. Christ has prepared a place for you. What a way to live. If Jesus Christ is your life, more than anything else, you want to see Him. I love my wife, I love my kids, I love my work, I love this church. But all of that I'm going to say goodbye to one day. And I'm going to say, hello, Lord. And I'm going to rejoice in that. Father, we're so grateful for your love and your goodness. Lord, you loved us enough to come to this earth, live a perfect life that we cannot live ourselves, die in our place, pay for our sins, and give us eternal life. Lord, you're worth living for. You're worth dying for. Father, bless and use us in this time we have, and help us to be looking forward to getting home. And Lord, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.